Shanti, Shanti, Shanti.
27 afternoon.
Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivastari Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Though Gyan and Vairag are somewhat favorable for entering bhakti, they are not angas of bhakti. If they become prominent, they harden the heart, and one cannot appreciate bhakti, which is by nature very tender. They are by nature obstacles in the development of relation with Krishna. Devotion is the only cause of bhakti. Rather than practice Vairagya, the devotee should practice Yukta Vairagya. Right, so Yukta Vairagya, relating everything in the world as much as possible to Krishna, in a favorable way, without being attached, is called Yukta Vairagya. So here, relating everything in the world as much as possible, nectar devotion. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, 2.125. Okay, relating everything as much as possible to Krishna in a favorable way. Right? So in other words, you take whatever is the situation and you try to connect it to Krishna. Right? And doing that, then, you know, that's favorable to Krishna. You do that without attachment. Right? So that degree that that detachment is there, that's the degree that the vairag is there. So you may have yukta somewhat vairagya, yukta more vairagya, yukta really vairagya, or kind of yukta, kind of viragya, you know. Does that make sense? So basically you're trying to do the best you can. That's what's important. And if you continue with that, that best will get better. It will improve. That's the idea. So here is, so Gyan and Vairag are somewhat favorable. It means they make an environment which is favorable, but they're not angas of bhakti. Right? Does that make sense? This Gyan and Vairag, because Gyan means your Gyan is in connection with the material world. It's about Krishna, but we're seeing it from the perspective of how to get out of the material world, how to deal with the material world. Right? So that aspect, or the aspect of just Krishna's God. So for us, you know, even those aspects don't become important once one's liberated. Right? So knowledge has its use up to liberation. After that, it's not useful. Right? Because in Vrindavan, we worship Krishna not because he's God. He can be God or not. They couldn't care less. What he does in his spare time, they're not worried about it. You know what I'm saying? Like that. They think it's... So it's not that that's the major thing. When you see that, like the cowherd boys, they're coming back from the fields. Right? And then as they come back, while they're still in the fields, then all the demigods, they come down and offer prayers to Krishna and this and that. So being properly trained in the culture, you know, which unfortunately here we would call varnashram and all those different things, then those kind of elements, then the cowherd boys, you know, they sit on the side, they behave themselves, because they can see your senior person's coming, you know, they have positions and all that. And then they're worshipping Krishna, you know, they have affection for Krishna and all that, but they want to worship like this, then great. Then they do all that, and then after the demigods have left, you know, and aren't around anymore, then the cowherd boys crack up, you know, hey, did you see the guy with the four heads? Yeah, like that. Yeah, what about the guy with the eyes all over his body? Wasn't he all right? Oh, yeah, you know. And the other guy, you know, he's all covered with ashes and snakes and that, you know. Like, you know, so they have fun about this. So the whole point is so this knowledge is not the important thing, right? Knowledge about the devotional process, like what's explained in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, knowledge of rasa, how it works to be able to apply it, that's there. But just technical knowledge of, you know, who's who and what's what and everything, that's not so important. It means they can speak on that if they need to. The acharyas come, they can speak all day about it. But that's not the drive of the rasa, the bhakti. Right? And the gyan being renounced, because the point is what's to renounce as Krishna's anyway? Right? So renunciation is only because we think it's ours. But if we understand as Krishna's, what does it matter what you deal with? Does that make sense? It means you have a servant, like you have a rich person. If they have servants, no one thinks that's strange. Right? But if you think about it, that servant's working in a very opulent environment, using all opulent things. Wearing nice clothes, eating nice food, driving around in nice cars, sleeping in nice facilities. You could say, well, what's this? But it's not a problem because it's not his. So technically the vairagya, that's not technically really the problem. The problem is we think it's ours. That's the problem. The Prabhupada says even the beggar is proud of his penny. So even though we've given up so much, what little bit you have, we're still proud of that. Right? Does that make sense? You have that story, Ramanuja Acharya and the wrestler and the sannyasis. Right? You know, so the sannyasis are making comments about the wrestler, because right? He's one of the main devotees of Ramanuja. But you know, he's so wealthy because he's a wrestler, he trains the king in wrestling. So he's very opulent, big house, lots of money. You know, he's married this girl that was like the most beautiful girl around. Right, that's why he was interested in her, and all that. So their whole thing is he's just, you know, a gross sense gratifier and all this and that. He's so attached, you know. So then Ramanuja says, okay, well let's see who's attached. So he sends the brahmacharis into the sannyasi's place. They all have their one little piece of cloth, and they rip off, you know, enough for one kopan, right? And then, you know, like that. So then when the sannyasis get up in the morning, you know, and then they go to get their cloth, and all of it's been ripped, so they start fighting with each other. Each one of them had ripped off a piece of their cloth, like that. And so then, and the brahmacharis were then sent to this grossly attached wrestler's house, you know, to steal from him, right? So they go and break into the house, and they come, and the wife is sleeping, because he comes back late at night, because he's with the king. So she's laying there on one side, and she's just covered in gold. So they come up and very carefully take off all the gold on one side, right? And then they're going to take gold on the other, and then she turns over. She's thinking that, oh, these are Brahmins, there must be some problem, you know, otherwise why are they stealing? So she thinks, I'll help by turning over, right? So they can steal the other side. But when she turns over, they get scared and run off. So then when the husband comes back, then, you know, she greets him at the door and everything, and he's, you know, he's looking at here, and it's just one earring, one, you know, like this, one bangle, one, you know, what's going on here, you know? So then she relates how these Brahmins came and everything, and that they were stealing the gold. When she turned over, then they got scared and ran away, you know, that she was doing it so they could take it. And then he chastises her for, you know, you think you're the doer and you're the one giving the gold. You know, it's Krishna's gold and he's taking it back. And that, so if you had just laid there peacefully, they would have taken the other side also. So because of your, you know, thinking that you're the proprietor, therefore they only got half the gold instead of all the gold. Like that. So the brahmacharis went back and reported that to Ramanuja. You know, so then, you know, after comparing the two, then the sannyasis understood the position. Right? So that's why it said the jnana and vairag are somewhat favorable. But that's not actually the point. The point is the bhakti is the main thing. Knowledge and renunciation is so you can be absorbed in devotional service. You know what's going on, you can be absorbed more because you know how to relate everything in the world to Krishna. Right? This as much as possible. That's what we were discussing in the morning. Right? Is that as much as possible is that you have to be able to see these principles, how they apply in all the different details. Because the same principle in one situation is applicable very nicely. Another situation it's not. So the detail changes, but you have to keep the principle in place. So to be able to do that, you have to be able to have that discrimination. That's the whole idea. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. Just one second, just see if I... And the vairagya means you're not dealing with too much material aspects. So that means it frees more time for dealing with direct devotional activities. That's what vairagya is for. Right? That's the only favorable thing about it, right? The brahmachari only has to take care of his couple of dhotis and his mat and his a few other things, and that's it. And once he has them, he's got them for the next year or 5 years, depending upon what it is. So he only, through the rest of the day, he can just chant his japa, sadhana, service to the deities, and preaching and everything like that. That's the favorableness, or somewhat favorable. That's the element that makes it favorable. But at the same time, as you know, we see in that other story, whether you have one or two dhotis or whether you have 20, it's the point is, if it's engaged in Krishna's service, that's favorable. So therefore, the grihasthas have so much stuff, they can engage that in Krishna's service with just as much efficiency as the brahmachari. The point is the downside is there may be so many more distractions. Right? Until one is able to adjust all that and bring it in line, so as much as possible, it's connected to Krishna in a favorable way. You know what I'm saying? You're just dealing with more stuff. Does that make sense? If I tell you to peel 5 potatoes and I tell you to peel 500, which is going to be easier? Right? 5 rather than 500. So that's the point. The grihastha has such a broad area to deal with that it just makes it more difficult. But being able to do that is just as connected as not having. Because the point is not whether you have stuff or not, it's whether you think you have stuff or not. Right? So if you have a lot of stuff and you think it's yours, you got a big problem. If you have a little bit of stuff and you think it's yours, you have a smaller problem. Right? And if you have a lot of stuff and you think it's Krishna's, or you have a little amount of stuff and you think it's Krishna's, it's the same. Right? Is that what I said? But it's generally easier when you have a little bit of stuff to be able to connect that, because you only have a few items to focus on and make it work. Because otherwise, when you have such a broad range, it's more difficult. But it's no less connectable as having very little. Because the Kinchana Gochara means you don't think you have any stuff. It's all Krishna's. It doesn't mean you don't physically have stuff. You know what I'm saying? Like that. Does that make sense? So these things, they're important like that. Otherwise, it's like here, it hardens the heart. Sometimes the ones that are the most austere and most good and sadhana and most this and that are the least generous in dealing with the human element. Right? Like that. So the whole idea is to strike that balance. Is that generousness shouldn't be based on modern liberality. Right? It should be based on broad-mindedness. Is that okay? We'll just hear what we'll get. Yes?
There's like a fine line with the detachment, because you can be attached to something because you're using it in Krishna service, but even if you're really endeavoring, for example, you could be growing vegetables for Krishna, and then there's some politics that comes up and then you defend,
because there's 4 apartments in the building and you've taken up the lands half of the building, so exactly. Then half of the cauliflower should be distributed.
So then to what, because obviously if your consciousness,
tell them they can have the bugs on the cauliflower.
Your consciousness, like as long as one keeps the internal mood correct in yourself, but then
I'm still thinking about the cauliflowers. What about you? You tell them, okay, we'll half-half, we'll take the top half, you can have the bottom half.
So in...
This doesn't seem to be working for you.
It's
not cauliflowers.
Huh? It's not, none of them.
Okay.
Is that right? but in anything, because we can, you know, we might think, whether it's like...
Because you're attached to your work and your endeavor, your time, your money you put into it, because you think it's yours, therefore I'm able to use this in Krishna's service.
Yeah. So, do you know, like, for example, if there's not so much attachment to the actual physical situation, but the result that might be there that you can offer to Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
So how much energy...
But even in the result... Oh, go ahead.
Because, you know, if you're too detached, then you won't defend anything on behalf of Krishna that you might use in Krishna's service. And then if you're too attached, then it will be your elements for yourself and not just for Krishna. So it's like a subtle line where it crosses from where it becomes the elements of pride and false ego in you rather than just trying to purely serve Krishna. Mm-hmm. I mean, because like you say in the Brahmacharya Ashram, it's not like this. So like in Grahastha Ashram, you're using things that you have.
Mm-hmm.
And then so, even though you're endeavouring to renounce everything, still, in order to do the duties properly, you still engage in different facilities. So how can we be sure to to keep the line where it should be in the middle? So we're not over-endeavouring, even when we're trying to serve Krishna, we're not under-endeavouring that we give up too easily and renounce mm-hmm. something, but we shouldn't be necessarily in that.
Yeah, it means the renunciation there is based on it's not yours.
Yeah.
And so therefore there's no work. Mm-hmm. So that then was the symptom of attachment. Mm-hmm. It's not actually renunciation. Mm-hmm. It's just how you say it? It means it's an obstacle, so then you decide it's not worth it. Right? So it's still result oriented. And if the results aren't yours that you can offer to Krishna, then you're not interested. So the balance would be is that you're going to endeavor as much as you would if it was your garden and your potatoes, you know. But it's for Krishna. You know what I'm saying? In other words, how much you would endeavor, in other words, the karma side is how much you would endeavor if you were totally attached. Right? But the gyan side is you know actually what's going on and all that, so you know it's not yours, it's Krishna's. But you're going to act as if it is, if it would be yours. You know what I'm saying? That much, you know, Prabhupada makes that point. We should be working as hard as karmas, at least, if not harder. Right? So that's the whole balance there, is that it's the good side of the karma. In other words, you're doing an activity that gets a result. That's the good side of the karma. But the bad side is the attitude. Right? And so then in the gyan, that side, you know, we're taking it that the attitude is good, that it's not ours, it's Krishna's. But the aspect of that they don't do any activity, that's the bad side. So you're taking the good of both. That keeps the balance. So to that degree you have that knowledge, to that degree you make that endeavor, that's the balance. Right? That's why it's like you see the acharyas, they can discuss very intimate details of Radha and Krishna's pastimes. But they can also take hair split on points of, you know, the theology and epistemology and ontology and all those different things on the nature of the soul, the material world, God, the relationships. Exactly like that. So that's the point, is how far it goes one way, they can go the other way. You know what I'm saying? So that's what makes the balance. Unless you can just throw yourself in and the emotional side is just connected to Krishna. And so therefore then it'll work nicely anyway. You know, without so much of the gyan. Like it says that gyan is favorable, somewhat favorable. You know, but the gopis didn't really bother with that. They just, Krishna's nice, and so then they're busy. Is that okay?
Yeah,
like that.
Because, I mean, this sort of thing comes up more when one is less focused on just Krishna anyway, because when you just focus on Krishna, it's more...
Because that's the direct activities are easily identifiable as connected to Krishna. You know, we're in the temple, Krishna's right there in front of us, and we're facing him, and we're singing. So it's pretty easy to understand, I'm doing some direct devotional service here. Right? But then when you go home, it's still the same creation, it's still the same laws. Right? But the tendency is, because now you're dealing with the indirect, it's harder to see its connection to Krishna. Right? Because it's dealing more technical aspects of the material world. So therefore you need the technical knowledge to be able to understand how that point has connected back to Krishna.
Or on more than just the tattva level, on a level where your soul actually waits.
Yeah. Yeah, tattva, because the point is the tattva, that's what was mentioning before. That's what we were discussing this morning, though it's technically part of this class. Is that, see, because we're used to hearing this levels of naishkarmya, right? Sakam and nishkam karma. So we're looking at the good part of it, right? So the top end of the sakam and the top of the nishkam. And we're saying that's the standard, because that is the standard of the two. Because they're similar, just one has that attached and one doesn't. Right? So the form is the same, it's just the attitude needs more development. Right? So, but what Bhaktivinoda Thakur is pointing out is there are three levels. You know, in other words, nishkam, where I'm not worried about the result. Right, but I'm all, therefore for me, so that makes it nishkam. But I'm also not necessarily as worried about it for Krishna. I'm just doing the service, and my focus is not being attached to the result. I'm in the kitchen, I'm cooking, and I'm not going to be, you know, overwhelmed by all the smells and want to eat it and everything like that. So I'm being very strict like this and very, you know, like that. But the point is, well, where did cooking, where's the part, the positive thing of making something nice for Krishna? You may be doing it, maybe what you made is nice, but your consciousness wasn't on that part. You know what I'm saying? So there, that's why, even though it's nice karma, it's the lower end. The next one is, because of the conditioned nature, you like doing those services for Krishna. Right? Because it's your conditioned nature. You like to cook. You know, you have the nature to cook. So you're cooking, and you're doing it very nicely, and the result, once you've done it nicely, and I've cooked, and I like all the things, making the chances, the technical things, adding the spices, I've done all that, and I've done it, you know, according to the rules. Then that result, now I've finished it, now I give this to Krishna. Does that make sense? But then the third, so that's karmarpana. But then the karma swarup, you know, which he calls their karma yoga. Because when Prabhupada talked karma yoga, all the acharyas are meaning this. You know, then it becomes that I'm doing this, and at all times I'm thinking, how am I going to please Krishna by this? So that's why he's making the chants just right in that. Not because he's making the chants just right because he likes making the chants just right. Right? He's making it just right because this will be pleasing to Krishna. So then it comes karma swarup. Right? So, and then it's called karma yoga, even though it's nice karma, right? Because we're talking about, when we're saying karma yoga, we're talking nishkam and sakam, right? So that's the attitude. But generally when we think nishkam, we're thinking that's the jnana yoga, but it's actually karma yoga, right? But it's been brought to the point where it is working on the Sarva Dharma Paditya Ja principle. Right? Like that. Because you're starting with Krishna. It's all about Krishna. And you're applying that all about Krishna in the kitchen. Right? And even in the lower ends, the Sakam, then you're doing it, you know, it basically for yourself, and then there's some kind of connection occasionally with Krishna. Then the next step would be you're performing the activity. You're attached to the results, but you're willing, because of your piety and your devotion, to give that to Krishna. Those are your results. I'm giving my money to Krishna, you know, like that. I'm spending my time for Krishna. You know, I'm engaging my family and things for Krishna. So there's that sentiment of giving something very important to me to Krishna. You know, so it invokes the emotions and all that. It feels very religious, right? Does that make sense? Then there's the thing is that that's being done, you know, because it's supposed to be done, though I'm attached to this and all that, but, you know, it comes much more freely. It's not such an emotional thing. You know what I'm saying? But it's still, the element is that it's mine. Like that, but the results are given to Krishna. You know what I'm saying? So when we talk sakam, we're talking that one. You know, where the form is very nice renunciation. And then when we're talking about The nishkam, or meaning the form, is very nicely sannyas. Right? Because the other two are technically their renunciation. Renunciation, I renounce the fruit, but I couldn't care less what happens to it. The other one is, I renounce the fruit, but you know, I care about it, but I renounce it. The next one is, it's not about the fruit for me, it's about just about results for Krishna. Activity for Krishna, pleasing Krishna. Does that make sense? Yes. So you can see is the lower of the nishkam is similar as the lower of the sakam. The middle of the nishkam is the same as the middle of the sakam. The highest of the nishkam is the same as the highest of the sakam. The difference is simply in the attitude. You know, on how, whether it's based on renunciation or the sannyas element. You know, whether the results for you or not. You know, so it's still. So that's why it's like a very active, dynamic person in the material world who's successful in the material world can, if they commit themselves to Krishna consciousness, use the same technique and be successful in devotional service because they'll be fully absorbed, fully committed. They know nothing's going to happen unless you work for it. Right? Well, the lazy person is lazy as a non-devotee. He's still lazy as a devotee. You know what I'm saying? So the principle is the same. You know, that's why, you know, the karmi, he buys the potato, and it, well, now we're on cauliflower today. He buys the cauliflower, and the devotee buys the cauliflower. And at the end of the day, when they both take it, cut it up, and chop it, and cook it, they're still dealing with cauliflower. And when it goes onto the Lord's plate, or onto their own plate, it still is a cauliflower. Right? But the difference is that one is done in devotional, one's not. So the form doesn't change. Like we were saying, the rasa, the formulas are the same. It's just the medium that you're dealing with. The senses are temporary. Sense touches sense object, there is rasa. As soon as it's not touching, there is no rasa. Well, emotions, you have the interaction, then that emotion is generated. But even if the interaction is not there, that emotion can still be called upon and remembered. Right? At least as long as you're in this body. When you change the body, then it's forgotten. But the spiritual, that's eternal. You know what I'm saying? So the principles are the same, but it's a matter of it's simple, but it's not simplistic. Right? Many people make the mistake that when you reduce it down to something so simple, they'll say it's simplistic because it doesn't include everything. Because they're only able to see detail. So their detail, they can't see how it connects to the simpleness that you've given. But simple means it's all-inclusive. It's so simple, it's universal. Does that make sense? It's just like you have a closed drain, right? Or you have an open drain. Anything can go through the open drain, right? You know, anything. But the closed drain, it's limited what can go through it and how much. You know what I'm saying? Things get stuck in it. On the open drain, much, much easier to deal with, even if something happens. So it's much more, it applies much easier. You know what I'm saying? It's simple, because it's simple. Well, the other is sophisticated. You know, so but in the same time, it loses its simplicity. Right? Does that make sense? So there's a difference between simplistic and simple. Right? The essential philosophy is simple, not simplistic. Right? Those who deal with details, they either is very sophisticated or very simplistic. Right? But the problem is, on whichever they're working on, they're still going to have trouble. Because they can't actually see the simple principle behind what they're doing. Does that make sense? Yeah? Okay. Wait. Did I look at you? You understand? You have to be able to notice. Now you know I'm looking at you. But if I'm looking up here, am I looking at you? You understand? So, direction and eye contact, they're both important. Is that okay? Otherwise, if you don't catch that, how are you going to catch other things in your life? That's the only reason to say it. Does that make sense? If you can't tell if someone's looking at you or not, you've got a problem. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't that I was looking at the guy right behind you where his eyes are right where your ear is. Now, this may be harder to tell, but this is definitely obviously not looking. Does that make sense? It's connected. Is that okay? Okay, so go ahead. No, you go ahead.
Where is the renunciation of activity here?
Where is the renunciation of activity? Why there needs to be a renunciation of activity?
Yeah, because, I mean, where does it fit?
Does it fit?
If it does. I was
I'm saying, have we ever talked about renouncing action?
No. We didn't. That's why I'm asking.
So, because that's the point. Activity is not being renounced. The field of action is not being renounced. What the two things you have to worry about is your proper identity and attitude and the result. But the action stays the same. You can't change that. It's the same point. It means if the field is not connected to Krishna, therefore the result's not connected to Krishna. But the action that it takes to get that unconnected field to that unconnected result is the same. Now if I see the field in connection to Krishna, I see the results in connection to Krishna, the action is still remains the same. Does that make sense? So the principle that we're giving up action, that's a problem. Because that stems from jnana. Because in the jnana marg, action is given up because action gives material result and we don't want material result, therefore we give up action. Right? But they don't want spiritual result either. It means they want transcendental result, but they don't want rasa, transcendental rasa. Because transcendental rasa is still based on attachment. Right? Attraction and attachment. So that means then the action will be there. Because attraction and attachment are connected by what?
Activity.
Right? In other words, you have your sambandha, your identity, and the field of activities, and you're attracted to that. Right? Then from that you see that I can get this result. Right, your prayojana. So how is sambandha and prayojana connected?
With avideya.
Yes, with avideya. Does that make sense? So avideya is not given up. The jnanis give it up because they want no result. So they identify with the field and that's it. So there's no result, there's no field. I mean there's no action. So there's only field of activities. But if your identification of the field of activities is not, basically, is not connected with the Supreme Lord and His eternal pastimes, what do you have? What are your options?
If what is not connected?
It means you have your field of activities, right? Now remember, sambandha means that we're dealing with the modes here also. So sambandha is your ignorance, abhideya is your passion, and prayojana is your goodness. So if you cut out, you know, the goodness and the passion, because you're not interested in result, you're not interested in the endeavor that gets you that result. What does that leave you with?
Ignorance.
Does that make sense? Doesn't make sense? Ignorance, passion, goodness. You cut out goodness and passion, you're left with ignorance. Does that make sense?
Makes sense.
That makes sense. Okay, so the sambandha in the material world is based on ignorance. So whether it is you think you're the body, which is the grossest of the ignorance, because you're identifying with the gross material elements, or you think you're God, it's still ignorance. Just one is a more refined form, right? So one is based on your ego, that you think I am God. The other, the ego, is I think I'm this gross matter. So all they've done is renounce the gross matter, but they still think they're God. They're still in ignorance. Right? And in ignorance means you don't do anything. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So because of the influence of ignorance, then we get confused that, well, then, you know, and naturally then we think of the things, well, if we're not reducing action, you know, what about, you know, the guy's a drug dealer, or, you know, he goes to prostitutes, or, you know, he runs a, you know, he has a franchise for McDonald's. We always bring up these really obscure, that, you know, how many guys have these things, right? So, you know what I'm saying? Like, because, you know, in one neighborhood there can only be one drug dealer, right? There's got to be thousands of kids, so it's obscure, right? How many people have a McDonald's franchise, or a Wimpy's franchise, or Kentucky Fried Chicken franchise, or run their own barbecue, right? Very few, you know what I'm saying? And who's the guy that's making it with all the girls, right? Who is that guy? Where is he? He's in the movies, right? They pay him $1 million to pretend he's like that. You know, but if you look in the tabloids, you know, he's just been thrown out by his girlfriend. You know, so where is this guy? You know, was it Snoop Dogg or one of those guys? You know, I got all the girls. Does he have them? No, he's got a couple of them. You know, say it doesn't exist, right? So we come up with these really wild, you know, things, but they actually have nothing to do with reality. The point is that's obvious. Is that action favorable for Krishna? Unfavorable action is given up. Favorable action is kept. But we take it, action is just thrown out, or action is kept. We don't distinguish that. It's kept, it doesn't matter good or bad, or it's thrown out good or bad. But the point is keep the good, throw out the bad. Right? Just like in karma, we were discussing on Mataji's point. The karma is you're keeping the point that you're engaged very diligently in a very correct way to get a very perfect result. That from karma is useful because that activity and results for Krishna. But the ignorance part of it that you think it's mine, that we throw out. And then from jnana, then the part of understanding your relationship with God and all that, that's kept. Are you uncomfortable?
No, I'm not.
You sure?
Oh yeah, I'm sure.
Okay. And then the jnana part of it, then you are how you say? You're keeping the part that you understand your relationship, who you are, who God is, what the material world is, how it functions. But you throw out the part that I do nothing. Does that make sense? So that combination, because we know that action with knowledge gives the best result. Right? So here's best action. You're acting as if you're attached, but you're not. Right? And best knowledge that is connected to Krishna. So then you get this yukta vairagya, relating everything in the world as much as possible to Krishna in a favorable way without being attached is called yukta vairagya. So relating everything in the world as much as possible, right? Then that's your karma aspect. Without being attached, right? Then that brings it to nishkam. But to be able to relate everything means you have to have knowledge. Right, how everything connects to Krishna, and according to your situation, what's favorable and what's not favorable. Because it may be favorable for someone else, but it's not for you. Does that make sense? Okay. Is that okay? Mm-hmm. Did that answer your question?
Yeah?
Yeah? Yes.
I wanted to ask you in the morning, right? It's also related to this topic. What does it mean to only accept one's quota and not more? One shouldn't take more than one is allotted to.
How many chapatis can you eat?
3 or 4.
So what if you ate 10? What would happen?
I would probably take rest afterwards.
And that would be it. And should you be taking rest?
Yeah.
Yes. So then your quota is 10 chapatis. Why are you eating 3? Because if you eat 3 chapatis, you don't take rest. So if you're supposed to take rest, then you should be eating 10.
I know it's a stupid question, but I wonder.
No, it's not a stupid question. The point is are you catching the answers? The point is what is, according to your position, what you're supposed to be doing, you perform those activities that are favorable to that, and the facilities necessary to perform those activities. Right? means your dharma means you have certain identity, which means your facilities, and certain actions. Right? Krishna said, you have a right to perform your duty. No one can stop you from that. You know, they can say it's not nice, it's not politically correct, this, that, but that doesn't matter. They don't have a right to tell you you can't do your duty. You know what I'm saying? But you can't think, I'm the cause of the results are mine, or to not do your duty. Right? So whatever your duty is, then it has an identity, and it has facility, and it has the actions. That's your quota. Does that make sense? Is that okay? So now you decide whether you're supposed to be sleeping or not, then you know whether to eat 3 or 4 or 10. Right? Yes. No. That was... Well, we can change it, you know, borscht. We can make it how much borscht you eat. You know, like that. You eat, you know, one bowl or 10 bowls. Or like that.
I don't like borscht.
You don't like borscht. You don't like borscht. I see. Do you get sour cream in your borscht? And you still don't like it?
Only that part which contains sour cream.
So you're supposed to put more sour cream. That makes sense? Ukrainian borscht is thinner, right? So you can put more sour cream. Very few people know this. Okay? Is that okay? Anything else? Yes.
Why is it that, if we say we should take both the good things from jnana and karma, but why is it that still, it seems to the jnana yoga, like what the impersonalists do, that it is still a bona fide process in the Vedas?
It's a bona fide process because it's the same process we use. It means the methodology that the impersonalists get out of the material world and we get out of the material world is the same. Right? If you want to go from Calcutta to London, is there a different process for you as a devotee and next to you is, you know, Mr. Agarwal, who's a complete materialist? No. So it's the same, because the point is the process of karma and process of jnana are Krishna's processes. Just they're using them not in connection with Krishna. So they're just illusioned in a more subtle way, that's all. You know what I'm saying? Means the person who rejects Krishna's method is the most totally illusioned. Because he, therefore, if you reject Krishna and the Vedas, how do you connect anything to him? How do you know that it's connected? I can say it's connected. You know, I have the plug for my, you know, machine and I can just say, you know, why am I restricted? I got to plug it into those two holes in the wall. That's been broken. Why is it broken?
One night fall down, we could not find how. Couldn't find the cause. Nobody said it.
So, I said. So it's Krishna's path. He says there's only one path. So on that path there's elements of action, there's elements of knowledge, there's elements of absorption and meditation, and the whole thing is actually meant for bhakti. So that means you can use the karma not connected to Krishna and it'll get you to the heavenly planets. Right? You can use the jnana not for Krishna and it'll get you to the Brahman. Right? You can use the dhyana not for Krishna, and it can get you to the Brahman or different subtle things within the universe. Understand? But if those things are used in connection to Krishna, then it gets you back to Godhead.
But naturally there will be karma involved, like when the jnani starts, there will be karma, and when we as karmis, like...
It's this whole thing of nishkarmya, nishkarma karma yoga. They sit out there and preach it like anything to the people. that you should all do your duties and be nice grihasthas and do everything but be detached from the result. They preach just like anything. That's all they talk about. So that aspect, they say exactly the same thing. They say you perform your duties without attachment, you'll become liberated. We say the same thing. But they're happy with that as a conclusion. We say that's only part of the process. You know, we want to go back to Godhead. Therefore, performing your duties without detachment, that's only part of it. Because then Krishna says, remembering me for me. You understand? Plus, they don't recommend the knowledge part. When we're dealing with Naishkarmya, we're giving the knowledge that goes along with it, the technical points. They don't. So they do it based on invoking that religious sentiment and detachment and charity and sacrifice. So it works to some degree, but it doesn't actually, technically they don't know what's going on, why it's going on. Does that make sense? Okay? Okay, so we'll continue tomorrow. Is this, are we getting anywhere with this? Are we understanding these points? These things will be a little slow because these are, because the whole idea of this class is to understand very nicely, you know, the principles and the technicalities of those principles of our philosophy. Because then we'll go look at other philosophies. And so we have to be able to tell the difference. Right? It won't be so gross, okay, you know, we wear dhotis and they wear black frocks. That makes them Catholics. And that makes us, you know, Hare Krishna. No, it's a little bit deep. We want to go deeper than that. With that. Okay?
Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada.
Jai.
So can that be fixed or what? What do you have to do?
Glue it in from the back and put some piece of stone and maybe glue it.
Stone? I don't know if that would work.
Or make holes or maybe like put some screws or...
But one thing is there's something behind it, like this has something here that makes the gap. Yeah, but you have to have something there. Because without it, if I take this out, right, and push this back, what happens? So that may be one of the things, is that it doesn't have something behind it. You know? So if need be, you just get some bamboo and just make one of these things back there. Something else, you get a piece of stone. You know, just figure out something. Not me, Mishai, what you can put behind there. And that should always be there, and the boy should know that's why it's there. Right? Yes. And then it should be less problem. It's making new ones not so much the problem, is that one was used by getting those marks there, I think, are very personal.
Maybe I can
Because then we are due to both tomorrow, so we're going to go tomorrow and I'll get it.
Oh, no. I wanted to offer take some teaching in for you, and then I want some to give to Srila Vajra Samadhi. Only because I never give him the remnants because it's his sannyas. And virtually, I just want to congratulate him. And then if Yadu is doing the offering, maybe one or two grapes of milk, he could give me some change.
Mishri
in the bag.
Okay, yeah. Well,
you can see.
If not, let's get Mishri. I'll catch both of them. How much Mishri?
Normally they put it back
up. Oh, so he knows how.
He knows how.
Choose one of these.
Exactly, so I just wait for
it. Yeah.
And then just, you come down to do your class with me. Yeah. Do you want me to look for
it? It's okay.
You're okay. I don't want to hold you, but maybe when your boys come up, then you stay. Okay, thank you. Where did you go in there? You got one in. See you.